This is Joe Del Tufo from Studio M, and I'm speaking with Stephen Wilson from Porcupine Tree.
In absentia is a decidedly harder direction than your previous work. What was the original impetus for the harder direction?
In this case, the big change for me in terms of musical influences was that I discovered the whole kind of metal underground scene, a scene that I didn't really know existed until then. I kind of, like a lot of people, I guess, I dismissed metal music as rather juvenile, adolescent music you kind of grow out of. And I found that wasn't the case at all, and that actually there's some really serious experimental music going on. And to some extent, a lot of the really ambitious musicians and gifted musicians are working in the metal scene. So it really came home to me around about the end of 2000, beginning of 2001, when I was writing In Absentia, and I was discovering this music, and also meeting up with bands like Opeth was, you know, obviously was a big influence as well. And naturally, it began to creep into my own writing, that heavier, riff-based, more guitar-orientated sound just very naturally kind of began to come out in my own writing. I guess it became absorbed, it became a part of my own musical personality.
Okay. In the past, you've described In Absentia as an album as opposed to a collection of songs. What is the relationship between the songs that makes this the case?
There's a number of things. Firstly, lyrical content is very important to me. I tend to write songs in batches. What I mean by that is that I very rarely explore a subject in isolation in one song. If I'm fascinated about a particular subject, if I'm interested in writing in a particular area, whether it's about myself or about, as in the case on this album, about a lot of third parties and rather unpleasant third parties at that, I tend to write more than one song about that. And on this album, there is a group of songs about these individuals: serial killers, rapists, child abusers, wife beaters. Mm-hmm. And there's about five or six songs on the record that kind of give the whole thing a lyrical unity. The golden era for that kind of art and that focusing on the album as the primary art form was really the kind of 67 to 77 era that perhaps started with Sgt. Pepper and ended with punk rock. But Porcupine Tree have always been very committed to the idea that the album should have a logic to it, a shape to it, and a kind of architecture to it, which makes it more than just a set of 10 songs thrown together.
Right, which is why albums like Zeppelin IV, Dark Side of the Moon, things like that, tend to have a timeless quality to them.
Great examples. I think those are albums that you can put on and you will want to listen to them from beginning to end. You won't find your finger twitching on the next track button or wanting to flip to another track, because in some senses, when you listen to those albums, you almost feel, at least I do, you almost feel it's sacrilege to be hopping from track to track, because you appreciate the kind of architecture that the records have and that the work that the artists have put into sequencing the record.
For me, Blackest Eyes really boils down the Porcupine Tree sound, at least on the new album, to its most elemental form. Would you agree with that statement? And then could you talk a little bit about where that actually fit into the sequence of the album as you were writing it?
I kind of agree with you. I'd paraphrase slightly. I mean, what I say to people about that track is that Blackest Eyes almost encapsulates, as the first track on the album, almost encapsulates everything that will follow. And it almost encapsulates all of the aspects of Porcupine Tree in the space of 4 minutes. Now, that's something that we've never really been able to achieve before, and certainly we've never been able to achieve that in something that is, at the same time, quite radio-friendly and, you know, an accessible pop song.
Right.
But for the first time, I think, with a song like Blackest Eyes, there you have it. You do have a good pop song, but you also have the ambient interlude towards the end, you have the big crunchy metal riff, you have the big harmony pop chorus, you have the darker lyrical concerns, and all of those things somehow manage to fuse together in that 4 minutes and hopefully sound like no one else but Porcupine Tree. And so for me, it was a very logical thing for that to be the opening track on the record. I think we were aware when we were making this record that for a lot of people, this would be their first experience of Porcupine Tree. And the first track on this album would be their first experience of Porcupine Tree. So Blackest Eyes seemed the obvious thing to start the record, in the sense that it does almost offer a potted précis of everything that will follow.
Cliff notes for Porcupine Tree. Well, we know about Opeth. What other bands that are creating experimental metal right now are worth paying attention to?
Well, the bands that really blew me away, and to be honest, they're probably still the bands that I'm most enamored of in the whole metal scene. The bands that I really got into at the time I was writing In Absentia, Opeth, Meshuggah, another Swedish band, who've recently been touring in the USA with Tool, so I know some people will have come across them through that avenue. The band called Morbid Angel from Tampa, Florida,
okay.
Another American band, you know, one of the definitive death metal bands. Who else? There was some doom metal I really enjoyed as well. There's a very obscure band called Esoteric from Birmingham in England, who write these incredibly slow, grinding, doomy tracks. And for me, I've never got over hearing the first track off the first Black Sabbath album when I was like 13 years old, and I think I'm not the only one. I think a lot of people never really got over that.
Sure.
And the whole doom genre really stems from that one track. It's amazing how that one track has been so incredibly influential. So I'm a sucker for that kind of sound as well. But really, the three main bands for me were Morbid Angel, Opeth, and Meshuggah, and Tool to an extent as well. And another American band called Dillinger Escape Plan.
Yeah. When all is said and done, how would you like Porcupine Tree to be remembered?
Well, the most important thing to me is that we're not remembered as a band that sounded like any other band.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, what I'm saying there is that it's very important to me that people talk about Porcupine Tree as having their own personality, their own identity, and their own sound. And it's taken us a long time to arrive at the sound that we have now, and it's taken us a long time for people to start talking about the Porcupine Tree sound. I'm pretty pleased, certainly within Absentia, I'm pleased now. I really think we have got indisputably our own sound. The other thing I'd like the band to be remembered for is really what we've been talking about, which is that a band that kind of tried to bring back the art of the album, the architecture in the album, the kind of quality of listening that hasn't really been around for the last 20 years.
Okay. Which In Absentia track works best live?
Wedding Nails is great to play. I think it would be between Wedding Nails and Gravity Eyeless. Although, funnily enough, having said that, Trains, which we didn't do on the last US tour, but we will be doing on this tour, although we didn't used to play it because it wasn't necessarily a great live number, it became a great live number because of the audience. You're going to have to kind of see it to understand that completely, but it's almost like when we played it in rehearsals, it was like, no, it's okay, it's not so great live. But when we played it live, the participation of the audience and the vibes from the audience made it a great live number. So that we're really having a lot of fun playing that at the moment.
In Absentia is certainly the best-selling Porcupine Tree release to date. It's been uniformly well-received, well-reviewed, and I'm curious, do you think this has anything to do with the harder sound?
I do think it's got something to do with the harder sound. Certainly, I think we were aware when we were deciding how we were going to record the record, we were aware that we had something that potentially was going to be quite a rock-orientated Porcupine Tree release. And it was partly that made us decide that we wanted to record it in America, because I do believe that American rock records sound better than anybody else's rock records. That's not to say that they're the most creative. I don't think they are. I think generally Scandinavian rock records are more creative, but they certainly sound better than anyone else's rock records. And so there was, I think, a conscious decision to record in America and to try and get perhaps a slightly more American sensibility into the sound of the record, because America, at the end of the day, is a country that has never really fallen out of love with rock music in the way that people do in Europe. I mean, Europe's funny. It kind of goes in and out. Rock music goes in and out of fashion in Europe. every 10 years or so, there's a band that come along and perhaps revitalize everyone's interest in rock music. And then it tends to go away again, and DJ culture or R&B or whatever it is takes over, and rock music very much goes underground.
Mm-hmm.
It seems in America, the appetite for rock music never really goes away. There's always that sense that, you know, that America at heart is just want to rock and roll. And so I think In Absentia, the fact that it's released on an American label, the fact that it's our first release on a major label anywhere, the fact that we recorded in America, and the fact that it is, by Porcupine Tree standards, quite an in-your-face rock record, I'm sure that has got something to do with the way it's sold and the way it's been received. It almost feels like for the first time ever in Porcupine Tree's career, we've got something right on the timing. You know, every other album has been completely out of context with what else has been going on in the scene. But this time, perhaps just a little bit of... we've just caught a little bit of the zeitgeist.
Great.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Joe.